This is Fresh Air. I'm Renee Montaigne here with you this week while Terry Gross is away. My guest today is director Bruno Barreto. He comes from Brazil's best-known family of filmmakers, but he's best known in America for his 1978 film Donna Flor and Her Two Husbands. Donna Flor offered a window onto a sensual and magically real Rio de Janeiro. Bruno Barreto's latest movie is called Bossa Nova, inspired, he says, by the music of Antonio Carlos Jobim and the films of François Truffaut. And it has more in common with the Hollywood screwball romantic madcap comedies that Howard Hoxton, Preston Sturges made in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, full of missed opportunities, double entendres, exquisite outfits, and the occasional musical number. The movie Bossa Nova is a merry-go-round of eight characters caught up in trying to find love or each other. For example, there's Marianne, a widowed former stewardess turned English teacher, played by Amy Irving. She's being pursued by Pedro Paulo, a divorce lawyer played by Antonio Fagundes, who's a kind of Brazilian Cary Grant. In order to win Marianne over, Pedro's enrolled in one of her classes.
Well, let's get started then. Why don't you open to page 35 and read?
Do you prefer on the top or below?
I beg your pardon?
The reading. I should read on the top.
Oh, you mean, should you stand up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, stand up. Do you prefer?
No, you're fine.
Marjorie and Jojo love romantic evenings. And romance in New York City always starts on Broadway.
Twenty-five years after Donna Flor, Bruno Barreto is living in New York. Among his most recent films was the Oscar-nominated thriller 4 Days in September. Bossa Nova is partly in Portuguese, partly in English, and Barreto told me he thinks Bossa Nova, ironically, is his most American film.
It's a film that I made. It's a Valentine to Rio de Janeiro, where I was born. But yet, because of the genre, because of the humor in it and the pace and the farcical side, the madcap, as you said, it's very American. And I think it makes sense because I've been living here for 11 years now. And I was talking to Milos Forman about this. It's like when you're an immigrant, you never become, I would never become American, but I could never go back and live in Brazil. He was saying the same thing, that he could never go back and live in Czechoslovakia. At the same time, he would never be completely American. So you feel like somehow in between. But I think the United States is the only country, really, where you can live like that. You can have a family and make that country, this country, your home. At the same time, you're not really American because the American culture is made from so many different cultures. So I think Bossa Nova is very much about all of that and the whole thing, English, Portuguese, the difference between amor, which is love in Portuguese, and love. There's a big difference between amor and love.
Tell me the difference between amor and love.
You know, I would be a little reluctant to tell you because then people wouldn't go see the movie. You should go see the movie in order to find out. I could, you know, go around it a little bit, but there's a lot more to it. For instance, just to give you a hint, and that's in the movie, it was a shock for me as a Latin man to see how often and how casually you Americans use the expression "I love you." It's like you wrap up a phone call with "I love you, goodbye, I love you, bye," and that's you know, for a Latin man to say "I love you," it's so epic. It's really, you know, it's scary. So maybe we Latin men say "I love you" like not more than 10 times in your whole life. So that's just a hint of it. So when I first came to the United States and I met Amy Irving, my wife, and she became my wife. She said, I love you a lot. And it made me think of Shakespeare. You know, the lady protests too much, methinks. So I didn't really believe in what she was saying. It took me a while to believe her.
Hmm.
So that's just a hint. There's a lot more about the difference between amour and love.
Well, your character, Marianne, who's played by Amy Irving, is she warns a Brazilian young woman, that when the man of her dreams, who she's met only on the internet, signs off love, that Americans use that expression a lot.
Yeah.
And suggest that she shouldn't take it too seriously.
True.
And that's one of four different stories going on. And it's all love, in a sense, but not.
Yeah, you know, that's why the film is dedicated to François Truffaut also, besides Antonio Carlos Jobim. It's dedicated to both of them. Because, in my opinion, Truffaut was really the last great romantic filmmaker. As an intelligent romantic but truly romantic, he didn't really trust romance all the way. He always had he always suspected romance a little bit. And I wanted to make a film about how difficult it is to function, to live in a place like Rio de Janeiro if you're not in love, or if you don't have a relationship. Even if you have a relationship, you've got to be in love. In New York, you go shopping. In Paris, you go to good restaurants. But in LA, you try to get an agent and make films or whatever and get in show business. But in Rio, it's really imperative that somehow you fall in love or you're in love. It's very hard to be alone in Rio.
In the movie Bossa Nova, the father is a tailor, and his son, Pedro Paulo, is a lawyer. But as a gesture of love for Marianne, the character played by Amy Irving, Pedro makes her a blouse. I mean, he returns, as it were, to his roots. He goes back to what his father does to express his love. Why?
Why? I mean, could you think of anything? I think he's very sophisticated and very romantic because I think he wants to dress her first in order to undress her later. it's quite irresistible. Amy says to me, oh, you know, I'm so thankful that you made this film for me, because this film is also Valentine to Amy, my wife. And I say, I wish I could have made you a blouse. Because I think it's so intimate and so irresistible.
In your first movie, or the first movie that brought you into prominence as a director, it was also about love. In fact, it was famously about love. It was about this is Donna Floor and her two husbands. It was about the love of a woman for a passionate and sort of crazy and sort of a difficult first husband, and then a very mature and careful and responsible second husband. And you made that movie when you were 20 years old?
Yes. You know, there are things that happen in your life that you look back and you say, how could I have done it? I mean, I must have been insane to direct that film when I was 20 years old. All I can say is that I'm a very intuitive person. And that film was all intuition, literally. I was alone, and I of course I started. The film is based on a very good book by Jorge Amado, and then I worked with the screenwriters on that. That was my third feature film, by the way. It was the first one that came to the United States, so I had some experience. I directed my first feature film when I was 17. Don't ask me. It's just too insane. What I think, you know, happened there was the it's like when your unconscious bypasses your conscience and goes straight to the screen. And I think that when that happens, it's great. It's magic ends up on screen. It's not that often that that happens. And I would like to think that that also happened when I did Bossa Nova, because of I wasn't really aware of how personal Bossa Nova, the film, mm-hmm. was until I started to edit, which is to say until I started to look at it and I started to see segments of it put together and I said, God, this is a very intimate film. This is a very personal film. It's very much about how much I miss Rio and, you know, so...
you know, I'm also... I was just going to say, I'm also wondering if it's about your father.
It's also about my father. That's very well pointed. It's a very good point.
Now, your father was a photojournalist, a cinematographer. What did do you recall a particular moment or a time when, you know, you looked up and your father was standing there, like this father is in this movie, and he was showing you something that told you something very important about life?
Yes, many times. I recall a moment when I was 10 years old, I went to visit the set of a film directed by Glauber Rocha. Glauber Rocha was a famous director from the 60s, from the movement that was called Cinema Novo, New Cinema. It was like the Nouvelle Vague, the New Wave in France. It was a Brazilian version of the New Wave. The French New Wave. And Marty Scorsese is a big fan of Glauber Rocha and sort of has made homages to Glauber Rocha in several of his movies. And I was on the set and there was an actor that was stumbling on a piece of dialogue every take exactly on the same moment. And they were just rehearsing and so Glauber said, let's shoot it. Let's maybe actually shooting it. It's going to be fine. He's going to get through it. And he stumbled again. And when he stumbled, I said, cut. And my father was so shocked. I mean, at 10 years old, I wasn't supposed to be on a set and say cut. And I said cut just 1 second before the director said cut. And but he was upset and proud at the same time. And I would never forget that.
Huh. What did the director say?
The director laughed. He laughed. he laughed and he wasn't upset at all. He turned out to be like a father figure for me, Glauber. He took me to see the first John Ford film I saw. He took me to see My Darling Clementine. So, it was a beautiful relationship that started that day. I had never met him, and I met him that day.
Given that you were making movies before you were even a teenager, what kind of a teenager were you?
I was a very unhappy teenager. I think it's easy to figure that out because I was making movies when I should be dating and going out. And I was a very lonely, very sort of a neurotic teenager. I didn't have a lot of friends. And I think that's why I ended up making movies, because I wasn't happy. And I tried to find happiness, you know, through on the screen, through the films. I used to go a lot to the movies. I used to live. I used to watch like 2-3 films a day. And that was my...
Did you have someone, though, at that time that you were in love with? I mean, would there have been a Sonia Braga from Donna Floor living down the street?
Yes. Jacqueline Bisset.
Down the street in the movie theater.
oh, in the movie theater. That's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, that was the... No, not down the street. There was a girl in school, actually. Her name was Sandra. And I was very much in love with her. But very much like the character in Bossa Nova, the character of the brother, I was too shy and too afraid to make the first move. So I shouldn't have been like that. Maybe I would have you know, had her, I would have won her.
No, and instead you go out and make a movie like Donna Floor, where, which is an amazingly passionate movie.
Yeah, that passion was all, you know, bottled up. I think that's where it came from. It came from me not being able to live it. So I lived it in the movie.
My guest is director Bruno Barreto. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm Renee Montaigne. My guest Bruno Barreto has a new movie called Bossa Nova. 2 years ago, his film 4 Days in September was nominated for an Academy Award. It was set in his home country of Brazil in 1969, when Brazil was under a dictatorship. It's about a group of young, inexperienced revolutionaries who wanted to free political prisoners then being tortured in jail, some of whom had been put there just for speaking out against the regime.
It was Paranoia City in Brazil. So they decide to do something in order to catch the world's attention about, you know, what's going on in Brazil. And they have this, it's just a sort of off-the-wall idea. They didn't really think about it. They said, what could we do in order to make the world know what's going on in Brazil? Because, needless to say, the whole press was under very heavy censorship, so the world didn't really know what was going on in Brazil. So they decide, why don't we kidnap the American ambassador? And it started like a crazy idea, which made a lot of sense. And they did it. They carried it out. And it was a very successful operation because they did catch the world's attention. So once this happened, the Charles Burke Albrecht was kidnapped. That's what... So the film is very much about that, but the film is very much about the relationship between these kidnappers and the ambassador, because they bond. So the film is not about really the politics in it, but about the relationship between the characters.
Mm-hmm. Where were you during those 4 days back in 1969?
I was 14 years old, and I was, you know, going to school in Rio, and there was actually a guy who sat right beside me in school. High school, and he didn't come to school, and we thought he was sick or something. Then a week went by, and 2 weeks went by, and then we saw his picture on the newspaper, and he had been caught with a group of other kids robbing a bank for some revolutionary movement, and he had been killed. So it got very close. It was scary. It was a very scary moment.
You know, during you made films in Brazil. You began your career in Brazil in the first 10 years of that 20-year, dictatorship. It lasted from the end of the '60s to the end of the '80s. Could you have made 4 Days in September, say, 15, 20 years ago?
Never, never, ever. The films I made, including Donna Floor, had a lot of cuts. There was, you know, censorship was very, very big in Brazil.
Where in Donna Floor would they have cut? Since that is not obviously a political movie at all.
Oh, they made cuts, about all the sexuality in the movie. They thought that anything that dealt with sexuality was very anarchist and it was very subversive.
I'm only laughing because they left a lot in. That
yeah.
Movie was so sensual.
No. They made cuts in Brazil.
Oh, so the movie that we saw in America is not the movie that Brazilians
saw. Oh yeah, no,
saw.
No. For the foreign market, it wasn't. It was the full length. The original version. It was in Brazil that they made. It's the censorship is in Brazil. But I must say, there's a different kind of censorship in this country. It shocks me that Bossa Nova got an R. It's R rated. Just because of some cursing that are really really very organic to a certain scene, to a specific scene in the movie. And You know, it's a different kind. It's not. It's a very sort of a white censorship. It's not so blatant, but it is some kind of censorship, and it's a new version of censorship. But it's very much about, you know, it shocks me that, you know, we couldn't see Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick in its original version here. That they did some special effects to conceal some nudity. It's pretty shocking for a foreigner how much in the United States they prefer carnage instead of carnality.
My guest is director Bruno Barreto. We'll take a break and be right back. This is Fresh Air. We're back with Bruno Barreto, whose newest movie is Bossa Nova, about love lost and found in his hometown of Rio. When you came to the United States to make movies, why did you come?
I came because I couldn't make movies in Brazil anymore. The first elected president after the 20 years of dictatorship closed down the government agency that financed feature film production in Brazil. So people had to look for other jobs. Fellow filmmakers went on to become, you know, TV directors, commercial directors, or journalists, but they couldn't make feature films in Brazil anymore. So I came to the States to find work.
So the dictatorship was good for film,
yes.
The film industry?
That's another irony, but yes. It was during the last 5 years of the dictatorship that Brazilian film production really soared, and we were producing over 100 feature films a year.
But why? I mean, why did they care? Why did they give money?
They really valued. They thought that a strong nation needed a strong film industry, and in which they were right. There were a lot of interesting thing about this dictatorship in Brazil. That's a long story. We would need another hour to talk about that. But that was one of the good things. And censorship gradually in the past 5 years was, you know, winding down. And actually, in the last 3 years, there was no censorship at all anymore.
Of the dictatorship,
yeah. Hmm. So there were some very good aspects.
Yeah. You said once in Brazil that it's a country or a culture that's afraid of success.
It's not afraid of success. As a good Catholic country, Brazil, they don't respect success as much as they do here. They always look at success. And they go like, oh, you know, they don't really trust success completely. They have a lot more. They're a lot more lenient with people that are not successful. I think it's, sort of a very Catholic trait to Brazilian culture that you know you will patronize and you will take care of people. But if you're successful, you don't need anybody to take care of you. You go on your own, and so they're sort of cold towards you if you're successful. It's changing. When I was growing up, it was more like that. But it's like Antonio Carlos Jobim used to say, you know, to be successful in Brazil, it's like to insult someone's mother.
Now, this film is dedicated to him, but his music and, you know, not just bossa nova music, but your films are filled with music. And I'm wondering if that that's a lot about Brazil.
Yes, I sometimes I think I make films just to put music on. Music is very, very important for me when I'm starting to make a film. I mean, when the film is just in my head, and I'm just in my office, and nobody's there. I'm just alone, and I close my eyes, and I'm just creating the images also of the film, and that I use a lot of music then to sort of help me to see the images that I want to shoot later. That kind of precedes the screenplay even. Sometimes I only have sort of the outline for the screenplay and I start to do that kind of work. Because for me, films are visual storytelling. So I think visual storytelling sometimes needs the help of music. And sometimes I do use music in those scenes and sometimes I don't later. But when I first imagine, sort of envision a film, it has music from beginning to end.
Bruno Beretta, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be here with you today.
Bruno Beretta's film Bossa Nova opens this weekend.